What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them.
Daddy, you ready to see?
Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ, Shot City, six rings. D-Rose, too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on whack. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap, Bulls on tap. Our city pretty and gritty, Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners, we got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth, Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my dude Goose. And we said we were going to be here at 9 p.m. I said that because I was like, yeah, we're going to do a show at 9 p.m. We also planned a podcast on my wife's birthday. By we, I mean me. So we're here to do it early tonight so we can go enjoy a dinner or a movie or something awesome before you don't give a fuck about my personal life. You care about the Bulls. Go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Follow us on X, Goose on Tap, Buzz on Tap Sportsnet, Bulls on Tap. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already, and 5-star rating and review anywhere you listen to podcasts because you can listen to us there. Goose, I rushed you after a workout. I apologize. I overbooked myself a little bit, I think, and my brain didn't realize what the schedule was.
I mean, your superhuman medicine didn't keep your schedule in order there.
That's what my wife said too. You guys are dicks.
Yeah, cognitive clarity didn't come through for you there.
Well, no, you know, I got up at 5 in the morning and I think it wears off after 9 hours of bullshit, Goose, if you were wondering. So okay. Yeah.
So the cognitive clarity is for work.
Yeah.
Me and your wife just get duh.
Yeah, right. That's basically what happens. Okay. That's how it goes.
That makes sense. Yeah. You gotta turn the brain off at some point.
Right. You're right. So listen, man. Bulls, they – fuck the Knicks game. I said we were going to talk about that. Who cares? We're in the play-in. We know what the Bulls are. They finished the season at, 39-40-something? 39-43 is the math? That's correct math.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Knicks game, as exciting as it could have been and should have been, and it was because it went to overtime and we only lost by 1 point. Bulls seeding was already set. You knew who they were playing. You knew what the end of the season was going to look like. I was actually surprised to see – Billy play the starters as much as he did in that game, just because there was nothing to gain outside of, I guess, supposedly some momentum. But that wasn't the case. We lost, but the momentumless Bulls headed into the play-in against the Atlanta Hawks, and the only thing that mattered happened, and that was Coby White having a career game. The career high in points will not count, as this is a game that exists,
count
but does not exist. Yeah, no, like, it's not a playoff stat. It's not a regular season stat. I guess it's a postseason stat, maybe. Maybe that's what Jerry would want to hear. That's what they put on the chairs.
Well, at least he gets revenue from it, right?
Yeah. Welcome to the Bulls postseason. And technically, not a lie. But we'll find out Friday against the Miami Heat in round two of the second time in 2 years that we are playing the Heat in the second round of the play-in. Jimmy Butler seemed to...
Jimmy Butler-less.
So he's going to be out.
I know you were working all day. Yeah. He an MCL or something like that. He's out for several weeks, I saw, unless that I got trolled.
Okay. No, at the very least, I knew we were going to get a hobbled Heat with Jimmy Butler. But wow, no, Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat. So this is really lining up for us to get shellacked by the Boston Celtics, huh?
Oh yeah. It's gonna be something. I mean, in the game against the Hawks, I'll tell you this: the Bulls came out, they scored 40 points in the first quarter. Atlanta plays no defense, and Quinn Snyder's a better coach than what we see. You have a team that is defeated with a star that people thought is a star that I've been telling you a long time. Trae Young is not that great. He's just a very, he's a very good shooter, but he's not that great. He's not going to win you shit. And you saw it last night. I know he's injured. I get it. You know, it's Trae Young. He's only going to get you so far. But
oh, this is all part of the narrative to get him to the Lakers with the
100%. 100%, because that's going to be Murray's team. It's going to be Murray's team.
Which sucks, because I've seen, like, the Trae rumors to Chicago for Zach and just doing a swap there.
Oh, no. I'd rather keep Zach. Can you believe
I would rather keep Zach. I mean, obviously, in that situation in Atlanta, the ideal thing would have been Murray, who was shopped pretty heavily at the deadline, finding his way to be a Chicago Bull with him and Zach having their Seattle ties.
Right.
And that being a pairing that would work. Because Devontae Murray is a point guard, not a complimentary piece to Trae Young. So, and he played phenomenal. He had a great game.
Yeah, Murray had 30 points, 6 assists, 7 boards, 2 steals. He only turned the ball over once in 46 minutes of play.
Yeah, no.
11 and 21 from the field, 3 for 6 from downtown.
He had a phenomenal game, kind of kept the Hawks in it, brought them back into it at the start of that second quarter. Where it looked like the Bulls were going to run away with this, and then Atlanta came out on a little bit of a run themselves to start
35 points for Atlanta in that second quarter. Yeah, man. It was a very entertaining game. I mean, from start to finish, I mean, they played like the Bulls played hard as fuck. Like, you could see the vets were in it. You see DeMar and Vooch knew the seriousness. I mean, even when Andre Drummond came off the bench, asserted himself right away. The vets wanted to win this game.
It was a big thing.
Yeah, you know.
Until he ran into Caruso.
Yeah, I know, man. He's fucking mad and hit-sticked him. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Like, and then we were Caruso-less for the rest of the night. Curious to see what his development would be for the Heat game.
But they're saying that the swelling went down or something like that, so there's optimism about him playing on Friday. Which, okay. Like you said, we're going in against a hobbled Heat team without Jimmy Butler.
So I guess while we're on that topic, is this the dream scenario for this front office? You get an Atlanta team that you match up with pretty well. You've got 2 point guards who give Trae hell. And for whatever reason, Atlanta went from having like a plethora of wing players and Cam Reddish and Hunter and on down the line. Now they just have Hunter. I literally was listening to the commentator say that he is the only guy between like 6'6" and 6'9" on the roster. Which is just mind-blowing, because you went from having too much wing depth to not having any. So that was interesting to see play out. But is this the front office's dream scenario? You beat the Hawks, you get the Heat in a rematch of last year's second-round play-in battle, and you get them shorthanded. I mean, and obviously health and injuries are a big part of this league, and it plays a big factor in who makes it to the finals every year. So is this front office's dream scenario? Sneak in, maybe catch some hobbled teams and sneak your way into an actual playoff series?
See, I mean, like in this case of getting into the postseason, yes, I agree with you. Running into a hurt Miami, they didn't know what was going to happen with Jimmy, obviously. And Miami was very, they probably liked their chances. They were 2-2 against them in the regular season. Against Miami. But still, I mean, in my mind of how you phrase that, that is just, I'm hearing in my head of, I just want to get into the playoffs. I just want to be there. I just want to participate. And that's running into a Boston team that you match up terribly against. They beat you 3 times this year, you know. And listen, they have elite level players. They have size, they have wings, and they have a defensive dog at the point guard position. You know, I mean, it's just, what are you gonna do? I think they're gonna beat this shit.
They got 2 dogs at the point guard position. You got Drew and you got Derek White.
That's true. I always called Derek White more of a 2, but right.
I mean, I think you can make the argument that both Drew and Derek are probably more of 2s on that team. Tatum's gonna be, you know, the main ball handler for them.
That's your position. But
the way that their roster is put together has had me envious and jealous most of the season. Jellious. Just because the way that everything fits for them, Porzingis was a huge addition, Derek White, and then bringing Drew Holiday over. Like, they have a very complete roster. There's no confusion as to why they led the East and why they're probably the favorite to come out of the East.
Yeah.
And this isn't anything new. Boston has been a contender in making these finals pushes for the last half decade. So, it's almost like to the point for them where if they don't get over the hump this year with all the pieces that they've put together and everything falling in place the way that it has, that you might see a major shakeup over there, just because at a certain point not being able to get over the top is going to frustrate some people over there. But
you got to win one, right? I mean, you've been there. You got to win it now. You know, you don't want a Buffalo Bills the shit from like the early 90s when they kept making it and fucking losing, you know?
It's also a team that has found a way to improve every year, despite leading the East pretty much the last few years, or battling it out with the Bucks for that 1-2 spot. They have continuity and they have success and they have an improved roster. So can't look past Friday. That's the last thing that the Bulls can do in this moment is look at the Heat team and go, Jimmy Butler's not playing. Miami's got that Heat culture. They're not going to come in and roll over. They're going to play their hearts out, and it is in Miami. So you obviously have that nightlife factor, and the Bulls are going to have to stay at home and stay in their hotel room and behave, because there's no lack of focus that you can put into this game just because you think that team's going to be hobbled.
I'll tell you this. Without Jimmy, and you know me, dude, I haven't touted them all year long. I honestly, without Jimmy Butler, with him being hurt tomorrow night, I mean, Tyler Hero and Bam have to be fucking perfect for them to win this game.
So, but with that said, are Tyler Hero and Bam not necessarily two better players than we have?
I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying they have to be perfect because what's around them isn't
not comparable to what they had last year.
Right. It's just not. You have Jovic is in the lineup, but he's a young kid still. He's just coming up, dude. You know, he's not that guy yet. You have Caleb Martin. You know, he's he's a certified role player. Nothing wrong with that. There's a spot for him. But when you look at the first play-in game that they lost 1 point at, how heavy they leaned minutes-wise with Hero and Butler, and then you look down the list, I mean, Jaime Jaquez Jr. only played 22 minutes. Right, only played 23 minutes. And that's kind
of surprising because he was getting some of the bigger touches at the end of the game.
Had 15 points in the game, but he only played 22 minutes. He's going to have to play a lot more now. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to insert Duncan Robinson back in? I mean, you have Patty Mills on your bench. Scary Terry's not with the team. I don't even know what the fuck happened to Terry Rozier. Okay. Where'd he go?
No, I mean, he had kind of a hot start to the season for Charlotte, which allowed them to get some trade value for him, but I have not heard much about Scary Terry since landing in Miami.
Yeah, it just says he was ruled out for play-in game. I'm not really seeing anything else about it. It says he remains out, for Friday's game as well.
Is definitely peculiar.
Yeah, that's again, it's huge for them with him being out. It's just another guy that can put the ball in the hoop when he's hot. And you said perfect scenario. It's right here. It's right here. It's presented to you almost on a gold plate. You have vets on this team and a couple. You have vets that want to win in Vooch and DeMar and Dre. You know, and then you have young guys that are hungry like Kobe and Io. And I mean, Jesus Christ, Dalen Terry gave you 20 plus 21 the other night.
Well, no, which for us was the key to making the play-in, was positive performances from the guys that could actually be on this team going forward. Obviously, guys like Vooch and DeMar are playing for their future on this team in the sense that Vooch is stuck here, but he doesn't want to go into a rebuild scenario, I'm sure. And obviously, DeMar is playing for a contract extension this offseason. And when it comes to that, at least around the league, I don't think that you can make the case for any team needing, valuing DeMar having more value to any team in the league than the team that he's currently on, just because he is such a centerpiece of everything that is done here. So success in the play-in and maybe some minor success against Boston is definitely something that DeMar is banking on. While we're on that topic, I hate that I do not want to give that man an extension because he deserves it. He's earned it. You see the way that he participates, not only with the young guys on this team, but the fans of this fan base.
Did you watch him with Dalen last night? Out on the court in real time about him, like directing Dalen around, be like, hey, just the communication that you saw, that goes unnoticed by a lot of people that like don't dive in. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just, it's the case. You're not like realizing, oh, what is he talking? No, he's directing his rookie, which is a second year player, but someone who's getting real time in an important game, directing him around like, hey, on offense, you hear him screaming, cut, Dalen, cut, you know, and he finally did it. He listened to him on defense. He's pointing to him, make the switch, get over there in the corner, get on him. You know, I was really proud of DeMar when I was watching all that, you know, just because we know what kind of vet he is. We know what kind of player he is. And to your point, I don't want him to go anywhere. I don't want to extend him for big money or anything, but like
$20. That's what it comes down to. And unfortunately, with where he's at in his career, he's going to be valued to any contender on that mid-level exception. So the Bulls have to at least be in that territory. But because the Bulls are not a contender like that, to keep him, they are going to be – you can't offer him Vooch money and expect him to stay. Like,
do you think that they – do you, well, hang on. He's not a stupid guy. He knows the Bulls will probably pay him more than any other franchise in the NBA will do.
So you think if they give him a contract equal to Vooch's, they somehow convince him that, you know, like – well, they'll have to go more.
Yeah, it'll be a bit more, but not much.
In terms of years, could they get him to agree to 2 instead of 3 to get him on the same timeline as Vooch, who took a 3-year this year, which means he'll have 2 going forward to kind of get them on that same page? Or are you going to have to give DeMar, you know, 2 plus a team option just to keep his hopes up in there kind of thing?
No chance after how he plays does he accept a team option. So he won't accept that. I mean, 2 to 3 years, whatever. If it was like 24 to 25, I guess, whatever. But that.
Well, and that has to fringe on the ability of being able to get rid of Zach for like dead salary, because paying DeMar $22 million plus means you can't pay Pat. And as much as.
Oh, who gives a
Pat? Well, hey, you can say who gives as much as you want. He's the only positive draft asset outside of Io and Kobe that we have on this roster. I guess Dalen's proven to maybe not be a negative draft asset at this point for a first-round pick. But we waited till the last second to give him his rookie extension. Weren't even sure if we were going to do that. And at certain points of the season, Julian Phillips looked better than Dalen Terry.
Javonte Green has played better in this little stretch that he's been back than Patrick Williams did before he got hurt.
And I get it, but blocking yourself off from the ability to even match offers, I know you don't care. I know you don't
care. It's not that I don't care. It's just I don't see the point in it just to say that because I could do it, I could do it. The kid does – I mean, it doesn't work here for him. He needs a new scenery. He needs a new change in his career.
Scenery, I think he just needs to wake the fuck up and realize that he's a 6'9" freak of nature athlete and should have all the confidence in the world instead of being so timid. But that's not ever going to be realized if you extend DeMar. You keep saying that DeMar is a small forward when DeMar is your power forward. And Pat stays in this limbo of he's a 3, he's a 4, he's not a 3, he's not a 4. Like, all around, Pat has definitely benefited from the DeMar situation because he has a mentor and he has somebody to look up to and learn from. But he's also been screwed by the DeMar situation.
Right.
The same way that Lowry got screwed by the drafting of Pat and them saying that he was a small forward then when we knew he was a power forward. So as much as I'm on board and understand your thinking of whether Pat's here next year doesn't matter at all to you.
Yeah.
I can't stomach the idea of being like, all right, 35-year-old DeMar, drag us to the play-in again.
I get that. I don't want to go to the play-in. I wouldn't mind him being my vet for younger players. Maybe that's not the stage of the career in his career that he's in because he's still so effective. But
I don't
mind
him being the vet on this team, but if him being on the vet on this team means you have to give up young talent or give up on young talent and pass on that, even if it's just Pat Williams.
Brother, it's been 4 years. Almost 5. I'm not saying he can't improve. He's not a star. He's not Kawhi. He's not these guys. He's a decent guy. He can stand in the corner and hit you a 3, and he'll make a defensive play that'll make people's balls tingle a little bit.
I cannot let recency bias of beating the Atlanta Hawks with a completely...
No, you didn't say that was recency bias for me. I know that.
No. DeMar, the team, the vibes. I can't let that blind me from the fact that signing DeMar again means continuity again.
That's Kobe frustrating.
Not getting the ball at the end of the games. It means Patrick Williams not getting the opportunity to show us that he can improve on this roster because 20-plus touches a game are going to DeMar in the mid-range instead of Pat anywhere else on the
floor. Well, let me ask you this. Is it just – I mean, let DeMar go. Let DeMar go. We just saw a high-stake – listen, it was the highest-stake game the Bulls have played all year. They were under 500, so I don't want to hear anything about any regular season game that they played because it doesn't matter. They were under 500. They were lucky to be here.
They were a 9 seed pretty much all year.
That was the best I've ever watched Kobe White play. and he had some amazing stretches during the regular season.
And somehow Billy still, towards the end of that game, started going to DeMar Ball.
Yeah, I know. That was wild, huh? Probably time for him.
But
at the end of the game, they're up fucking whatever. They were up like 15 points.
I mean, and I guess,
don't need Kobe going in Mach 5 on everybody and twisting an ankle. Give it to DeMar.
Yeah, no, I mean, even the end of that game, I was like, Billy, what are we doing? There's under 2 minutes left. Why are these guys still on the floor?
By any means necessary.
I get there's playoff implications, but I promise our reserves are good enough to hold off for 2 minutes with a 15-plus point lead.
I think that we have a couple young pieces that'll be able to contribute in Kobe and Io. I don't know about anybody else yet because I haven't really gotten to see it because of how this team has been constructed and played all year. Like, you know, you'd think, honestly, you would have saw a little bit more Dalen Terry than Javonte. And I like Javonte. We had the Javonte Green Power Hour on this show for a couple years. But, like, I was blown away by that in the last couple games of the season. And then, you know, seeing that, like, oh, they're really going for it. There's a reason why. They really believe they're better than what they were. Maybe they are. I don't think so. But maybe they are. But if Kobe plays like that, I mean, but their defense was atrocious, too.
With that being said, though, if this team is better with $70 million worth of contracts in Lonzo Ball, Patrick Williams, Zach LaVine, that kind of stuff on the side.
Yeah.
What does that say about this front office?
Oh, it gross mismanagement of funds, the whole nine, dude.
Like as great as that is to say, and as exciting as that was to watch Wednesday night, to say that out loud and think what that actually means,
yeah,
that this roster this year with a slightly worse record given the turmoil might actually be a better constructed, put-together team than last year's team is crazy.
Right.
And it means that a lot needs to change and still has to change despite these good feelings that we have.
Oh, yeah. Right. Like, see, that's why I'm not super high. Like, I put a tweet out. And the reason I was so happy last night and I was high on the Bulls win is because I got to see what I wanted.
No, I mean, after 82 games of torture, we actually got some enjoyment out of this season.
Right. I got to see a win in a highly competitive game. And yeah, man, I missed that. Right. But the biggest thing was I watched Io DeSumo at a couple points where the Bulls were hitting laws, just pull up and hit threes.
Oh, no, that transition.
Yeah.
Was like, know, every other Bulls player was still on defense and Io just kind of looked around and was like, cool, I'll shoot this.
Right, and then you see Kobe, and then those guys cheering on each other like the brother. I mean, they must have a really great bond. I mean, no, you see Kobe wear the Io DeSumo really shirt, and I think, you know, Io returned the favor. They seem to be close. But their performance, those two young guys, along with the vets, was like, this is what this is supposed to look like. Like, again, the defense was atrocious, and some of the offense was too throughout the game. It was not clean by any means necessary. But things that you want to see on a basketball court from someone who played for a long time is like the, you know, your older teammates, your vets, whatever you want to call them, advising you and letting you flourish out on the court. And those guys got that opportunity. And the vets got to eat too. So, I mean, it's a hard thing to root against. I think we have a couple good young talents here that you could build around, and I wish DeMar would take a nice contract that was not going to break the bank because I think he's the perfect vet for the team. For these young guys, you know? He was a scoring guy. You know, Kobe's a scoring guy. I mean, Kobe's becoming complete as shit. But, I mean, DeMar started becoming a complete player later on in his career. But, I mean, that's still being, I feel, passed down a little bit. You know? So, I don't know what your thoughts are on it. I hate to see him go. Will I lose sleep over it? No. But do you give the keys to Kobe White then? Is that what you do? I mean, are you sold on Kobe White being that guy? Because it'll never be Zach LaVine again in this city. It's done.
You don't keep your draft pick if you fall in the same spot next year. You will send the 10th, 11th, or 11th, 12th overall pick.
San Antonio.
San Antonio Spurs for being mediocre and having continuity. So unless you are confident in the fact that you can be a full-fledged playoff contender next season, you have no reason to not hit the reset. And I suppose maybe this next game against the Heat maybe is convincing enough. Maybe a seven-game series with Boston is convincing enough to be like, hey, you know, DeMar, Kobe, Io, and whatever else we can get on here while moving Zach and getting off of some of these bad contracts, maybe is something that, you know, is good enough. But for me, it's still not. And
it's not. I mean, it's not for me either, dude. I've been screaming all year. Fucking tank. Go get Cooper Flagg. Go get Dylan Harper.
Obviously, once our seeding was set, once falling behind Atlanta and moving a spot up in the lottery was done, the mentality completely shifts. There's no more losing. There's no more wanting this. It is what it is. We're locked into the situation that we are. There's no more wants. It's just forward. Right. Your pick is what it is. Your lottery slot is what it is. Now it's business time. Show me I was wrong all season. Right. Make me insert my foot into my own mouth.
Yeah, make me eat my words. And
play well. Play how you played against Atlanta.
Got to play better defense, though, man. I mean, they might be able to get away with it with Miami, but they won't with Boston if they play that kind of defense again. They won't.
No.
Boston's going to play 10 times harder because there's 10 times more talent on it than Atlanta. You know what I mean? And like you said, to your point, they can't go back there and fail again.
No, they can't fail. As much as a lot of their roster is new, this is very much all or nothing for Boston because their core, their Tatums, their Browns, Al Horford's probably going to retire.
Something's got to give.
You know, like they're at the tippy top, and if they don't get over the top, there's going to be a fracture there of some kind. So Boston should be in do or die mode this postseason. And if we sneak into that series, I'm not expecting much. But at the same time, I don't know. We've been here before with the three alphas. And we did give Boston a little bit of hell. I don't think Rajon Rondo's walking through that door, but you never know.
Oh, my God, dude. Give me your prediction for tomorrow night before we head on out of here. Instead of your final thoughts, we're just going to do final predictions. Final predictions tomorrow night. Do you think the Bulls come out on top?
I think the Bulls win by double digits in a convincing fashion.
Okay, and then can I ask you one more basketball-related question? Who do you have in a very, very fun game that'll start at 8:30 on TNT, Sacramento and New Orleans? Even though I think Zion's out. Zion's hurt.
Not playing the Lakers game. I'm going to take the Kings. I think that one's... It's really sad to me that because I don't think Ingram's healthy either. He had that pretty.
No, serious... he just got benched, dog.
He got benched.
Herb Jones is playing better than him. The whole game. Herb was playing on both sides of the floor, hitting some shots. B.I. had a hard time, dude. He had a hard time. It's just like Willie just didn't play him. And that's what I read. I'll Google it right now to make sure I'm not wrong for all of our listeners. But
a weird scenario unfolding in New Orleans.
Well, they have to choose. You've got to choose.
Well, and we knew that, and I think they knew that when they started playing together, that it was B.I. or Zion.
He was limited in the loss on Tuesday. Pelicans could be – no, he was straight up benched, dude. There's an article right here on NOLA.com. I was right. He was benched. I didn't read anything on this. I just thought they really benched him, and he did.
That is fucking crazy.
Well, Herb Jones, Herb Jones is a goddamn defensive player of the year candidate. You know, how do you sit him in a game like that? You can't. If Brandon Ingram's not scoring, what's he doing for you? That's the problem.
Without Zion, that roster construction blows my mind. And the fact that LeBron got a cakewalk without Zion blows my mind as well.
Zion was in the game for the first half, or he got hurt in the last little bit of it.
Okay.
That's when he pulled his hammy or some whatever the fuck he did. But yeah, he started off all right. He had like 20 something points. He was scoring quick. And then Jose Alvarado came in like the second quarter, picked up a tech right away, and then like the tides changed.
Okay.
Yeah, go watch the highlights. It was actually a good watch. Sacramento Golden State was a great watch. I'll tell you what. Sacramento's fun as fuck, dude. They should be better than they are.
For 10, right?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, Clay. I know, dude. And you can see on his face too. He's just like, damn, like it just goes away.
I'm just not that dude anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I wish I was that dude in the first place to see what it'd be like to lose it, but I never got there.
Yeah, no, he never had that feeling before.
No, I didn't. So that's my final fucking thought. My prediction: Bulls win tomorrow. We're gonna have to play Boston, dude, and it's gonna be something.
Yeah, we're gonna go from being excited to being gifted a hobbled Heat team, and assuming we don't embarrass ourselves, we're going to go back to wanting to cry and just be like, can this be over? Do we have to play all four? Like, we've already played two or three. We see how this is going to go. Do we have to play the last one?
Well, we don't have to watch it. Just kidding. Actually, I do. I actually do have to watch it. I can't, not because I'm forced to, because I literally, my body makes me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like muscle memory, dude. But those are my last words, Goose. I don't know. We'll see if we mess around during the weekend. If something crazy happens tomorrow with the game, I'll hit you up. We'll see what's going on.
No, I'm off Saturday. So we'll play at 6 o'clock instead of 8:30.
Which is how it fucking should be.
So the chances of us potentially going live post game.
For tomorrow? 100%. That could definitely happen. So, all right, well.
For tonight, you need to get to your wife.
It's her birthday, dude. I messed up bad, Goose. I messed up bad. So I'm not James, in trouble.
I'm sorry. Happy birthday. I did not mean to steal your man from you for half an hour on your day of birth. He does have a beautiful face, but I don't intend on stealing him any further.
Appreciate
that. I hope you and your lady get to enjoy the rest of your night. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, we will. As soon as the three kids try to fall asleep, we can actually watch television.
Okay.
So, if they don't go to sleep, I'll report back and say I'm still sitting here.
Call it nowadays, watching television.
I'm 32 now, dude. I don't do shit anymore, all right, buddy? I just want to sit in the fucking recliner, okay? I got my own little blankie. I got my own little end table for my fucking drinks and my candy. I'm not having candy. It's berries now. I eat berries and chocolate chips.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Fancy as fuck. Go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Goose and I will be back probably tomorrow night after whatever happens with the Bulls and Heat for a little bit or a half-hour show. Who the fuck knows? Let's go Bulls, Goose. Let's go Bulls.
Well, let's go Bulls. We want to win right now.
All right. Let's go Bulls. We want to win. I don't want to win.